Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. My pleasure as always. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. You're going to be glad you stayed around too if you've been listening already, because one of our favorite guys, Congressman Steve Chabot, is with us. He's a great American. He's an incredible supporter, a great champion of small business. He is the congressman from the 1st District of Ohio, which is a Cincinnati area. Beautiful part of America. Wonderful people there in Ohio. He's also the ranking member of the House Small Business Committee. And he's here to talk to us about those things, all things related to small business and Congress and others as he joins us now. Congressman Chabot, thank you for joining us again. Hello there.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Jim, and your listeners. And once again, thank you for everything that you do for the small business community across the country, because sometimes it's a little more difficult for folks in the small business arena to get information and get good information so that they can be successful and compete against the big guys and, hire more people and help to grow this economy. So you've provided a service to that community for many years now. So thank you for everything that you've done.
Well, thank you, Congressman. I appreciate that very much. I want to talk about some of the things that you're doing for small business in a few minutes. But before we do, I want to talk about a little bit about something that happened this week. I saw you asking questions of General Petraeus.
Yes.
And Mr. Chambers. Is Chambers, right? Ambassador Chambers?
Yes, it was the ambassador, and it was also General Petraeus.
General Petraeus, correct. Yes. I saw you asking.
Crocker is the ambassador.
Crocker. I didn't mean Chambers. I meant Crocker for some reason.
Right.
I don't know why. Ambassador Crocker, ambassador to Iraq. So you were there. You were one of the people asking the questions. You did a great job, by the way.
Well, thank you. Give the
audience your perspective on their report.
Well, it's something that's been long awaited. There's been a lot of, unfortunately, partisanship on this, where people are taking shots, I think, and not necessarily looking at the facts. And clearly there is a division in this country as to whether we should have gone into Iraq or whether we shouldn't have gone into Iraq. But the fact is we're there now, and doing a lot of finger-pointing, I think, is probably not that much of a service to the country. So where do we go from here? And my view is the last thing we want to see is a haven for terrorists in that critical part of the world, and then allow the terrorists to be able to have the resources they need to hit us once again here. We haven't been hit in 6 years, and I think that's important, and that's through a lot of effort by an awful lot of people. We don't want to be hit again. We want to be successful in Iraq, and basically General Petraeus' report was, where do we go from here? All indications are the so-called surge has been very effective militarily, but we still have a lot of progress that needs to be made by the Iraqi government actually coming together to form a government. That's been the fall off. And the general's report was really critical about what the next steps are going to be, and what General Petraeus indicated, and I think there's support for this, is to allow a gradual drawdown from the surge levels, because it has been so successful militarily, so that we get down from probably about 168,000 troops on the ground over there now to probably back down to about 130 by early summer next year. And then if we can continue the successful military operations, to be able to gradually get our troops out of there, but not precipitously, not just to pull them out immediately and have us go back to the chaos that we would have seen had we not had the surge. So that's basically what General Petraeus reported. And there were a lot of people taking their shots, but...
He was very thoughtful and very thorough in his report, wasn't he?
He sure was, and we're lucky to have somebody of his caliber leading such an important endeavor that's really critical to the future, not only of that region, but to this country.
Well, folks, if you're wondering... you know, what people mean when they talk about politicizing this whole thing for political gain. When you've got members of Congress who voted to virtually unanimously to send Petraeus over there and to do the surge, but then before he'd almost started his work, were predicting that he would fail. That's politics at its ugliest, isn't it, Congressman?
Oh, I think it is. You know, you send somebody over there who's putting his life on the line along with our troops, and you vote to send him over there, and then before he's even had an opportunity to be successful or to come back and report to us, you're beating up on the guy. This outrageous ad that was in the New York Times this week, mm-hmm. This General Betray Us, that's just outrageous and just uncalled for in a civil society.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's the politics of personal prosecution, personal insults has taken it to a new level. We're going to take a quick break, right back with Congressman Steve Chabot from the 1st District of the great state of Ohio. We're going to talk about small business. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Congressman Steve Chabot, a great American, an outstanding champion for small business, the ranking member of the Small Business Committee in the United States House of Representatives. And Congressman, I want to go on. I want to talk about the meeting that you had, committee meeting that you had for the SBA in a minute, in just a second. But before we do, one last thing on the issue of General Petraeus' report and everything that you participated in this week. Do you consider the war in Iraq to be the front lines of the war on terrorism?
Oh, I think it absolutely is. That in conjunction with the war in Afghanistan, some people like to separate the two and say, well, one is related to terrorism and one is not. That's just not accurate. They say that, in my view, because it maybe fits into their partisan political agenda. And they'll say, well, Al-Qaeda wasn't there at any great numbers prior to us going in there. Well, you can argue that till the cows come home, but they're there now. And Osama bin Laden himself has said time and time again that they intend to defeat the United States in Iraq, and that's part of their overall Al-Qaeda global terrorism plan. So they were there then, they're there now, and we need to fight them.
They want to defeat us, period. And if we get them to expend their resources and their energy and their people offshore from the United States, that's what's wrong with that?
Oh, I think that's absolutely right, and it's not a coincidence that we haven't been hit in the United States in the last 6 years since September 11th.
Right.
Were we not engaged against Al-Qaeda and their allies around the world, overseas, and here as well, I think probably would have been hit by now. I think most people thought that we would have had another terrorist attack in this country by now, but the main reason is because we meaning the people of this nation and its government, have taken actions which have prevented additional attacks. We've connected the dots. You know, there was a lot of this information that was known prior to September 11th and wasn't acted on. Now we're taking action. And we're doing it in a way, a lot of people say we're violating people's civil liberties. I don't buy that at all.
We need
to protect our civil liberties. On the other hand, we need to know what the terrorists are going on, what they're up to. And if they're on a phone call from one to another and it happens to go through the U.S., we sure as heck need to be knowing what they're up to.
I'm convinced the Patriot Act has kept us safe in the for the last 6 years. No question about it.
Absolutely. And it's controversial, but it is legal, and we should have been doing it prior to September 11th. And if we were, we probably wouldn't have been hit that day.
If we had the Patriot Act 15 years ago, you're exactly right. 9/11 might not have happened. Congressman, let's switch horses and talk about a meeting that happened this last week with the SBA to discuss the SBA's some of the things that they're working on. I know that my friend, our mutual friend, Steve Preston, who's the administrator of the SBA, was there testifying before the Small Business Committee. Tell us what happened.
Well, we had a very good meeting, and I think Mr. Preston has done an admirable job. The Small Business Administration, I think, is trying to come into the modern world, trying to reform itself, trying to be more helpful to small businesses across the country. And we focused, one of the main focuses was on the microloan program.
Right.
And this goes all the way back. Actually, some people may remember a 60 Minutes story years ago about the Grameen Bank over in Bangladesh.
Right.
And there's a Nobel Peace Prize winner. I actually happened to have lunch with him in Bangladesh a few months back.
Wow.
Dr. Yunus is his name. And what he did is he wanted to get small amounts of money into the hands of entrepreneurs in Bangladesh, women particularly, who couldn't afford a sewing machine and were weaving by hand. And if he could make them a little more productive by getting them a little bit of money, they could get ahead in life. And it worked out well, and they paid the loans back. Now, the United States isn't Bangladesh, but there are some similarities to the extent that access to capital keeps a lot of people from starting up a business or expanding their business. So let's get that capital in their hands. Let's have them pay back the money, and I think it grows the economy. And that's what this microloan program has done over the years.
By the way,
By the way,
Congressman, I hear from a lot of small business owners, a lot of people who want to start a small business, and they say, Jim, I just need $5,000.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. A lot of times,
and for a lot of banks, that's a retail loan. That's not even a business loan for most banks.
That's right, and it's not worth a lot of banks' time to do these small loans of a few thousand dollars.
They want to do $5,000 loans online with nobody touching it.
That's right.
It's understandable. I mean, it's just inefficient. So
that's
go ahead.
Right, they're a business too, you know, and it doesn't make sense oftentimes for them to do hundreds or thousands of these very small loans, and that's where the SBA's microloan program comes in. Now, what we did is we reformed the programs. We streamlined it. We made it a little bit more user-friendly. We increased, because it was initiated back in 1991, and there haven't been a lot of changes since way back then. Obviously, with inflation, money doesn't go as far as it used to, so we increased up to $10,000 the average loan that can now be given, which in some businesses is just what they need, either to expand or to get started.
But the microloan still goes through the local financial institutions, right?
That's right. There's a local intermediary, basically, that lends out the money, and the government basically backs it. And the payback has been tremendous. It's not a program that's experienced a lot of defaults. It's good for those businesses that want to start up or expand. And what I would suggest is, if there are some small business folks out there that are interested in either starting up a business or expanding an existing business but don't have the resources, have them contact their local member of Congress. They can contact my office, and we can put them in touch with the right people.
Absolutely, folks. And also check with a local Small Business Development Center. They'll help you there as well. That's part of the SBA's network. Quick break, right back with Congressman Steve Chabot. I told you he's looking out for you and me. Right after these messages, Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with one of my heroes, Congressman Steve Chabot, ranking member of the Small Business Committee in the House of Representatives, the United States House of Representatives, the congressman from the 1st District of Ohio, which includes the Cincinnati area, great, wonderful part of Heartland America. Congressman Chabot, as you may know, for the last 4 years, we've been conducting regular interviews with people on the ground in Iraq, people who have been over there helping to build, you know, get the society going on and get the economy moving over there. And one of the last persons that we've been visiting with over there is a lady named June Reed, which is part of the embassy mission over there. And her job is to help get the economy going through by helping businesses, small businesses, to flourish. And one of the things they've been doing is they've made thousands of microloans to Iraqis to help them get businesses going. And she reports, now I haven't talked to her about this in several months, but the last time she was here, she reported that their success ratio, the rate of payback of these loans and everything, has been very good. And so we've got the Grameen Bank example you mentioned a minute ago. We've got the microloan program here in the United States. We've got what's going on in Iraq. This is if we can keep working on this sort of thing and spread this kind of activity around the world, I still say small business owners can save this world, Congressman.
Oh, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right, Jim. If it works in Bangladesh and in Iraq, certainly it'll work here in the United States. And these small businesses that are being started are tomorrow's mid-sized and large corporations. These are the folks that are going to be hiring your kids and my kids and our grandkids in the future. I mean, who would have thought of where Microsoft was going to be nowadays, or any of the big guys? They all started out small, and we need to make sure that they have the access to capital that's necessary to get started and then to grow. Now, it's not all government programs, and I'm a pretty solid conservative, and much of this will happen outside government involvement, but there is a role for the government to play, and to the extent that we're able to streamline the process and make it more user-friendly, we ought to do that.
Well, see, what I like about this, Congressman, about these kinds of programs, the SBA-type programs, and by the way, I'm very proud to say I am a product of an SBA loan guarantee in my past. In fact, I probably wouldn't be here today if it were not for an SBA loan guarantee.
And you did pay it back, too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is that When the SBA creates that kind of availability of capital, they actually put two other businesses together with each other. They put a financial institution and a small business together. They help build a relationship that could last for years. I mean, that's like the hat trick, Congressman.
Yes, it is.
And that's a lot different from the government saying, "Okay, Jim, here's $5,000 from me."
That's right. And so, government involvement when it makes sense, then I think it can really help the economy, can grow the economy, can put people in good circumstances. Unfortunately, sometimes the government gets in the way too and complicates things, makes more regulations and raises taxes and all the rest. So that's why the government can help. It can also hurt, and we need to make sure that we have it helping rather than hurting.
Speaking of which, are we going to be able to maintain the tax cuts?
I certainly hope so. Unfortunately, the new majority in Congress right now, the Democrats, I happen to be a Republican, what they have done in order to make their budget work is to phase out all the tax cuts that we passed. Now, it hasn't happened yet, but that's what they're on the glide path to doing away with all the tax cuts. I think that's about the worst thing that we could possibly do.
Well, how can they look at the economy today and not like what this is and not believe that it happened because of the tax cuts?
Well,
I mean, what ball game are they watching, Congressman?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of the liberals right now and for years have been screaming tax cuts for the rich, tax cuts for the rich.
Yeah.
They don't really understand that the tax cuts that were passed affected all Americans across the board, cut taxes on everybody. That's
exactly
the way to do it, to be fair. Let people decide how they want to spend their own money. Cut taxes on everybody, and that's basically what we did.
Congressman, two quick questions. We're almost out of time. You give us your website, please.
It's www.house.gov/Chabot, Chabot.
And one last very quick question. Who's your presidential candidate on the Republican side?
I have not picked one and don't intend to. I stay the heck out of primary.
I'm going to keep asking you, though. But next time you're here, I'm going to ask you who your Democrat candidate is, because I know Republicans have certain ones that they want to run against. Congressman, thank you for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time. Thanks for all you do for small business. Congressman Steve Chabot, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.